Hey everyone, my name is Zach, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We are so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. The easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, and even support the River Church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing in any way that we can. You can also visit our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope you are blessed by today's message.
We are coming to the end of our year in Scripture. Only a couple weeks left. We've been walking through the entirety of God's Word, and I'm excited tonight. We have an opportunity to be in one of my favorite books in Scripture, one of the ones that challenges me the most, both intellectually and in an application in my life, which is the book of Hebrews. And so super thankful just as we've been walking through this to have so many different people come in and preach God's word as we walk through this. Specifically last week, Pastor Josh Combs, who's our lead pastor, one of our elders, our location pastor from our Goodrich location, came and brought God's word. And he really highlighted the reality of what it means to grow up and mature as a believer in Christ, and what that means according to God's word, what it means as we follow Christ. And if you were here last week, it was a challenge. He said some hard things for us to hear, but things that we needed to hear, things that we needed to recognize and to really look to transform in our lives. And so this week I'm excited we look at the book of Hebrews, and we're going to talk about the reality of what it means to contend for our faith. To contend for our faith. Sometimes we think that as we follow Christ, it should be smooth sailing, right? We have some hard times, then we come to know Christ, and then after we come to know Christ, it's smooth sailing. And that's very contrary to the picture that Scripture paints for us, how it is us contending, fighting for our faith as we follow Christ. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like in the book of Hebrews. But before we do, let's pray together and ask God for understanding. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement that it brings. Pray that you would help us to set aside all distraction this evening. That the things that would cause us to focus elsewhere, to lose sight on anything other than what your Holy Spirit is looking to teach us, that we would lay aside so that we could follow you. Lord, I pray that as the Holy Spirit convicts us, that we would not put off that conviction, but that we would sit in it and live differently because of it. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen. So open with me, like I said, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 specifically. The book of Hebrews is an interesting book because we don't specifically get a picture of who is writing it. They don't sign it, and that's because really it's not a letter. Many scholars kind of debate back and forth what it is, and as I've read the Hebrews multiple times and I've studied Hebrews, the more and more that I believe, or I fall in the camp of, I believe that it was a sermon that was preached, one long sermon. Maybe that's one of the reasons why I like it so much, is because I enjoy sermons and crafting sermons, and it's an incredibly crafted sermon. But that's also one of the reasons why we don't necessarily get a specific author, because where we look at books like Philippians or Romans, where it's signed by Paul, because it was a letter being written, they need to know who was writing it. The book of Hebrews being a sermon, he didn't really need to introduce himself. And I would also fall in the camp, there are many people who debate who preached this sermon. I would say that I believe that it is Paul who is preaching this sermon. And he's preaching it to a primarily Jewish audience of Jewish believers. And he's helping them to see the supremacy of Christ. Why Christ reigns supreme. And as they look back over all the characters in Scripture, like Moses and Abraham and David and all these people who you would say are these pillars, these foundations, these wonderful men of God, why Christ reigns supreme above them all. Why Christ is more than just a great teacher, but he is the perfect salvation that we require. And in Hebrews chapter 12, he takes a second and he talks about the application that that has for our lives. That because Christ reigns supreme, because Christ is over all, how we as believers should live. And so we pick up Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says this. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And so here he starts off this passage by comparing our life following Christ, our life post-salvation, as a race that is run. He uses this analogy, this idea of a race that we are running after God. And as I read this passage, it reminds me of a student retreat that I was part of a long time ago. And I remember we were actually walking through this passage. And one of the things that we did day one, I think it was a 3 or 4 day long retreat, is we had gotten these, plastic kind of costume ball and chains. And we had, I think we had like 50 or so students there. And we had each of the students zip tie that ball and chain around their ankle. And for the entire weekend or the entire 3 or 4 days that we were there at this retreat, they had to wear this ball and chain. Now, it wasn't heavy. It wasn't like a real ball and chain. It was like this cheap plastic one. It didn't even weigh a pound, right? And so where you think like, oh, that can't be that annoying. When it's zip tied to your ankle, let me tell you, it is annoying, right? Menial tasks, it gets in the way of, like, simply putting on your pants in the morning, right? But now become an issue, especially if you like to wear skinny jeans, right? How's that ball and chain going to get into those pants, right? And things like showering, things like even just getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, right? When you're in this large room of all these middle schoolers and high schoolers, right? And you hear this plastic ball and chain dragging across the floor, waking everyone up, right? And by the last day, those middle schoolers and high schoolers, they were ticked at us. They were ticked. And they were ready to be rid of those ball and chains. Some of them had, you know, gotten a little bit of like rash, right? Or a little bit of chafing on their ankle because they'd been running around and playing games and doing all this stuff, right? And had it there. And they were frustrated. They were like, do you understand how this weighs us down? And we looked at him and he said, yes, yes. Maybe not specifically. I mean, we hadn't walked around with a ball and chain around our ankle for 3-4 days. But the reality is we were going through this verse. And at the end of the week, what we had him do is we did this cool thing where they cut them off and they hung them on the cross. And it's this reality. Let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. The reality is there was this thing that was small and weightless, and it made even the menial incredibly frustrating. Now imagine the weight of sin. Now imagine the weight of sin. Our sin is more than just an Amazon basic ball and chain. It weighs us down. It's heavy on our shoulders. It dries out our soul. And so what Paul says here is, imagine running this race with a ball and chain of sin clasped around your ankle. Imagine running this race with hundreds of pounds on your shoulders. You will fail. You will fail. You will fall flat. You will be not effective. Why? Because you are carrying unneeded weight in an already difficult race. And so Paul says, it's time to lay that weight aside. It is time to lay that weight aside. You are running a race with a house strapped to your back. And wonder why you keep stumbling. Wondering why you keep falling. Wondering why you're having difficulty growing. It's because your sin is clinging to you. And you will not lay it aside. So Paul says, lay it down. Take it seriously. Give it up. Sometimes we like to justify our sin. Or at least, at the very least, we like to downplay our sin. Oh, it's not that big a deal. It's only affecting us. Yeah, it's a vice. I'm dealing with it. And we don't like to recognize it for what it is. Something that is making our spiritual walk lead us towards misery rather than redemption. Leading us to a dried up soul rather than refreshment. Leading us to collapse rather than raising us to follow Christ. And the reality is, what Paul says is, you won't make it to the finish line. Some of you need to hear that tonight when it comes to your sin. You have a strong desire to follow the Lord, but if you continue to leave your sin in your life, you will not make it to the finish line. That's the reality. That's why we do things like Tuesday Night Recovery, because we believe that we have to break the chains of addiction in our life. And that happens through the power of Christ Jesus in our lives. And we do that not because we are just really interested in self-help, not because we want you to lead like this really physically healthy lifestyle. Is because what Paul says is, if you want to run a race of endurance, if you want to make it, you have to lay aside sin, the things that are weighing you down. You have to drop those at the starting line and run, leaving them in the distance. One of the second things I think is important that we see here is we have to understand what type of race we are running. Look back at the second half of verse 1. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. We run a race for the sake of endurance, longevity to stay and contend for Christ, to finish the race well. Sometimes we get caught up into the mindset thinking that our walk with Christ is a 100-yard dash. Maybe a series of 100-yard dash. Oh, if I can just deal with this thing, then I'll be good. Oh, if I can just deal with this thing, then I'll be good. If I can just deal with this thing, then I'll be good. And the reality is our walk with Christ, or our race as we contend with Christ, it's a marathon. And we have to look at it as a marathon. My dad is an avid runner. I don't know how, but you know, the apple fell real far away from the tree, right, with me. But I remember there was this period of time where he was preparing to run a marathon. That was like one of the things on his bucket list. And as he prepared to run for a marathon, his preparation looked significantly different when he started preparing for that versus when he was just doing his regular daily running. And the more that I was around him, the more that I realized that there is some very specific preparation that has to go into running for that long of a period of time. Things that I never knew. And I wouldn't ever know, because I'm not going to run a marathon anytime soon, let's be honest. And things like, you have to make sure you trim your toenails a certain way. Otherwise, after running for so long, they'll fall off or splinter. Yeah, things I never thought of. You have to do like extreme chafing preventage. Like he had been wearing like the same clothes every time he ran so that he knew exactly where it rubbed on his body so that he could tape it down and make sure that it wasn't going to mess with him as he ran for that long period of time. He had to practice eating and drinking while he ran because throughout that time he would never make it to the end if he didn't eat and drink while he ran. And most of us don't run enough that we realize how difficult it can be to eat and drink while running at the same time. And don't even get me started on bathroom breaks along the way, right? There's a reality. He had to look and prepare to run a different type of race. Why? Because the longevity required some very specific things from him in order that he make it the distance. The same is true for us. We have to look at our lives and say, what are some things that, yeah, we may be okay with in the short term, but that will burn our lives down in the long term? What are some things that we may are maybe pushing to the side because right now we can kind of manage it, but in the long term, it'll grow and grow and grow and fester and rot our lives out? What are some things that are keeping us from running an endurance race? The reality is, our addiction, a lot of times, stems from much deeper hurt. And we want to run the sprint of just dealing with our addiction. As long as I can just stop drinking or if I can stop using, then I'm good. That's a sprint. We're running an endurance race. We gotta maybe slow down and deal with some of the core pieces that are leading us to hurt, that led us here in the first place. I was reading a book this week. It had nothing to do with addiction. But there was an interesting line in the book. One of the characters talked about some hurt that he was experiencing. And a different character said to him, I have a potion that can heal that. It's liquor. And the response from this character I loved because it's so applicable to us. He says, that's like trying to get warm by setting yourself on fire. Right? And for us, we look and we have had troubles. We have had hurt. We've had deep-seated wounds that have festered over the years. And the reason that they festered is because they made us cold and we set ourselves on fire in an effort to get warm. We have to deal with the root problem. We have to fight and race for endurance. So many different things in our lives we have to look at and say, will this help me run the race well and into eternity? We like to ask the first question, will it help us run the race well? And if it's not, we just put it to the side. But our walk with Christ, we like to view as like the 80 years on this earth, if we're lucky. The reality of walking with Christ is that extends into eternity. And that's beautiful, but it also should help us focus our minds on the longevity that we're called to run with Christ. What is our priority? What is it that we truly need to cast off and be done with? Sometimes we set things aside intending to pick them up when we're healthier, when in reality, they just need to be left by the wayside, period. What is hindering, weighing you down? Last thing. If we are to run the race well, we have to remember to keep our eyes on the prize. Christ, the source of our salvation. Look back at verse 2. He says specifically, looking to Jesus, we do all these things, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. We have a tendency to just want to put our heads down and plow through. We have a tendency to want to just work, 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 and grit out our salvation. And though your heart may start in the right place, a desire to passionately pursue God, it will lead you dried up. Why? Because you are shouldering. You are doing these things. And you know what? You're looking down at you. And that will lead you to dry up and become discouraged. Paul says, as you contend, as you race, the way that you stay encouraged, the way that you stay focused, the way that you have endurance is not from just gritting your teeth and trying to do it according to your own strength. It's looking to the perfecter, the founder of our faith, our ultimate example, Christ. It's watching him. He is the pioneer. When you look at all the way back when the West was being explored, right? You had all these pioneers who were traveling across America. And the thing that was difficult for each of them is they had no roads to go on, really no trails. Especially those very first pioneers who set out. And so they had to pave that way. And after every pioneer walked and got west, it went from some brushes cleared in the wilderness to some small path to some large trails to some roads. You are not walking a road untraveled. You want to know who first cut that trail, that path? It was Christ. It was Christ. I love how Paul describes him here in Hebrews, the founder and perfecter of our faith. He blazed the trails so that we could follow. He laid the foundation, the groundwork, so that we could follow in his example, despising shame, enduring the cross. And so as we walk and we run the race of salvation, there's going to be things that we are going to have to endure. And we can look to Christ because he endured the cross. And we can look to his example. We can look to his teaching. We can look to his life and be encouraged and be shown how to respond. How to handle it. How to do things well. We have to remain focused and look and watch, keeping our eyes on the prize. Sometimes in our lives as believers, we can get caught in the trap of going through the religious motions. Oh, I just do this because this is what I've done since I became a believer. Or I just do this because this is how I was raised. Or this is what I heard was the right thing. And we just do it and do it and do it. And eventually it becomes mindless rather than a deep relationship with the Lord. We forget why we do things. We forget why we're contending and what we contend for. And the things that we were so passionate about as we started our walk with Christ, soon we become apathetic towards. Or we go through the motions. It's a slow burn that leads us to spiritual collapse because we've lost sight of what we're running for and where we're running to. A couple years ago at a men's retreat, Pastor Caleb, who's one of our elders, pastor at our location, pastor at our Holly location, he preached a sermon on David, and specifically a sermon on David's fall with Bathsheba. And I remember, I've always thought about that period in David's life where he made that just, or made multiple egregious mistakes. As like, oh, that was so out of David's character. Like, all of a sudden, he just made the mistake out of nowhere. And as Pastor Caleb preached, he talked about how there were signs of a spiritual degradation in David's life way prior to his sin with Bathsheba. It's a slow burn. He had become comfortable. He forgot what he was running for and where he was running to. Paul reminds the church at Philippi of a same notion. He says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, it says this: "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ." Here we see there's this picture of the call of every believer, that we have received a salvation that only comes through Christ Jesus. We were sinners, part of the world, deserving death, living in disobedience to God, at war with God, deserving an eternity in hell. And Christ, because he loved us, was sent by God to come to earth to live a perfect life and to go to the cross, paying the penalty for our sin, offering us forgiveness, making peace between us and God. And Paul says in Romans that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that he is risen from the dead, you will be saved. And so every believer has received this salvation. And this salvation leads to our transformation. Our lives being transformed. A faith that is given to us and becomes our own. A faith that strengthens us as we run this race. And Paul describes it here in Philippians 3. He says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, that faith, because Christ Jesus has made me his own through the salvation." And he says, "But as I strive towards Christ, I have to forget what lies behind and strain forward to what lies ahead." Some of you are so caught up in living what needs to be left behind. And you know what it's doing? It's keeping you from straining forward to what's ahead. I love how Paul describes here that straining forward, right? He does not in any way describe it as an easy, leisurely walk. He says it's a fight, a battle. You cannot afford to carry anything in that you do not absolutely need. And he said, he describes what you need: your faith. Your faith that is given to you by Christ. So leave the rest of it. Press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Jesus Christ. What is that call of Jesus Christ? To grow in your deep relationship with Christ, in the knowledge of Christ, and to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Forget what lies behind and strain forward to eternity. This upward call of God in Jesus Christ. There's a verse that we talk about a lot in the office, specifically the location pastors. We've talked about it several times. Is something, a banner that we want for our lives. And it comes from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Paul is writing to Timothy, a man who he's discipled and is helping to teach, to lead the church. And in 2 Timothy, Paul is nearing the end of his life. He knows that he does not have much time left. And so in this last chapter, he's kind of saying his goodbyes. And he says this, and I want you to see this is what it looks like to live a life contending for Christ. He says this, 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have loved his appearing. I love that verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's a life laying all other burdens aside. That's a life following Christ. Finishing well. I think we all look at verse 7 and we want to be able to say that at the end of our lives. But Paul did. He lived differently so that at the end of his life, he was different. If you want to finish well, you have to live differently now. Laying things aside, laying sin aside, laying distractions aside to contend, to strain forward for God. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us to run the race well. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be people who want to run a race of endurance. I pray that we would lay aside those things which hinder us, those things which slow us down, weigh us down, dry up our souls, and that we would contend after you. That we would press on toward the upward call that you place on our lives. That we keep our eyes fixed on you and the example you led and that you've led and left in your word. Lord, I pray that we would remember the gospel, the reason that we are saved, the way by which we are saved. Lord, tonight I pray if there's someone in this room who has not received the gospel, that your Holy Spirit would just impress upon them their need to run after you. Because without salvation that only comes through your Son, Jesus Christ, they're running to death. Lord, I pray that as we run the race of our lives, that each and every one of us, as we prepare to come home to you, Lord, that we would be able to say a similar thing to what Paul says, that we have fought the good fight, that we have finished the race, that we have kept the faith. Lord, I pray that we would strive after being able to say that in our lives. Lord, tonight I pray for whoever it is who's discouraged, whoever it is who's tired from running the race, whoever it is who's feeling discouraged as they run the race, Lord, I pray that they would come down and pray with some table leaders. Lord, I pray that you would give them the boldness, the courage to come down and to be vulnerable and to share the ways in which they're struggling with some table leaders and receive prayer for it. Lord, but ultimately we look to follow you with our lives. In your precious and holy name, Jesus' name, amen.